love it seemed to be, right? Yeah. Okay. And then there's the advantage of being one instead of two. I can do what the others do, and even better with one. Mm. But that maybe isn't the whole thing, right? Mm. Yeah. Because you come back in the light of this here and you say, hey, maybe each of these great thinkers sees a part of the truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Intellect and will.
Yeah. And what's the reason for that? Because the mind cannot produce something what? Automatically. Is capable of contraries. And therefore it needs something else, and that's desire or choice, as he says, that would determine it to do one of the opposites rather than another, right? I need the love and hate of Empedocles. I love the students, I'll teach them. If I hate them, I'll deceive them, right? You see? Yeah, in a sense, if the doctor aborts the baby, since he hates the baby, right? Right? Mm-hmm. It's his hate, in a sense. He might claim to love the woman, but he's really hating her, right? Mm-hmm. He's hating the baby, right? But if he delivers the baby, then it's because he loves the baby, right? That's it. But his metaphor enables him to be the one, right? Mm-hmm. And so his ability that he has in medical art doesn't determine which one he will do. And he can't do both. Okay? So there's got to be love or hate there to determine which one he does. Huh? So this is important in understanding God, right? Okay? As I say, there's other thinkers tend to make the other mistake, though, of saying what? That God produces the universe by a kind of natural necessity. Huh? Okay. But then when you go to the Trinity, you've got a little more problem there, right? Because there you don't have... the Father was not able to produce the Son and not to produce the Son. I see. And in our scripture passages where it says, you know, and the Father loves the Son and shows him everything, right? But that love is a approbation, you might say, right? He didn't, you know, the church fathers are very clear about that, Dan, that he wasn't against his will, but it was with his love that he generated the Son, right? But it wasn't through love as a cause, right? Now, but because God naturally understands himself, that he naturally forms, or actually proceeds his thought of himself, right? Because he naturally loves himself, huh? There's not a ability for opposites there, right? Okay? The Father and the Son are not able to not be the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay? But, you know, the Son is the Fathers are want to bring out that they weren't forced to do this, like, you know, against their will, so to speak, right? You know? It's not in harmony with their will. It wasn't in harmony with their will. When you're talking in comparison to creatures, right, then you have to see that God's choice there is involved, huh?
This is what Chesterton, when somebody asks, is this the best of all possible worlds? He says, no, it's the best of all impossible worlds.
Impossible?
Yeah, because it's not necessary by itself. God doesn't create by itself.
Thomas spends a lot of time in the Summa Contingentia, that's reasoning against this idea of natural necessity. Huh? But this kind of came back in the modern mind, with Spinoza, Hegel, people of that sort. And it creeps into the other thinkers from them. Very dangerous thing. Huh? Well, that's a good place to stop now, because this is the end of the first part now of the ninth book, huh?